Good morning and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. We are continuing a series of studies on what the Bible teaches about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Last week on the program, we looked at the establishment of marriage in Genesis chapter 2, and I would suggest that we always go back to the beginning, that we hit the reset button and go back to the beginning and see how God wants marriage from the very beginning, even for us today, many years after the marriage of Adam and Eve. And then we looked at God's provision for regulating divorce in the days of Moses. We looked at Deuteronomy chapter 24 in the first few verses there. This morning, I want to look at two more passages in the Old Testament, and then we're going to turn our attention to the New Testament. If you'd like to turn over to Proverbs chapter 2, in just a moment we will be reading verses 16 and 17. Proverbs chapter 2, 16 and 17. We're glad that you've joined us. You can always get back issues of the Let the Bible Speak program. You can listen to all of the recordings if you missed one by going to our website, wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. Stands for the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. There you'll find not only the Let the Bible Speak program, but the Warfield Bulletin. I write articles in that bulletin every week. And my weekly sermons, you can see the PowerPoints and listen to those. And so there's a lot of good Bible study information on our website, wbcoc.org. Of course, even better, if you'd like to come and hear our studies in person, we would love to have you. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. We're starting a new study. We have a quarter system, and in October, we're starting a new Bible study quarter for the adults and young adults. We're studying the life of Christ. This would be a great opportunity to learn more about Jesus from his birth all the way until his death and everywhere in between. We have good material that we are prepared to study on the life of Christ, and we would encourage you to be a part of that. We also have studies for high school age, college and high school, all the way down to toddlers. And so if you have children, now's a good time to get them enrolled in a good Bible study class. And if you'd like more information on that, come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. If you'd like to call us, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. Let's continue our study of what the Bible teaches about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Of course, we understand, looking at current statistics, that the current divorce rate in the United States is in the 40% range up to about 50%. And that says, basically, that one in two marriages end in divorce. That's very high. And then subsequent marriages after that, the divorce rate is even higher than 50%. In other words, when a person remarries a second or a third or more, the chances of divorce go even higher. And so we've got to ask ourselves, is this what God wants? It's clearly what society wants, but is this what God wants? And the answer is no. God wants a man and a woman to stay together for life. We're going to see that God makes one exception for that in the New Testament. Not two or three or four or five exceptions, but one. And that is going to come from the mouth of Jesus. But we've already looked at Genesis chapter 2 and Deuteronomy chapter 24. And if you missed that lesson, like I said earlier, you can pick that up on our website at wbcoc.org. This morning, I want to start with Proverbs chapter 2, and then we're going to turn to Malachi chapter 2. What we're going to find in these two remaining Old Testament passages is that marriage is a covenant, not only between a man and a woman, but also between God. When we say, I do, we are making a promise, a pledge, a covenant to keep those vows and to be true to those vows. We vow to be a good person. We vow to stay married. We vow to sacrifice. We vow to help each other out. We vow to maintain purity and good character. We vow a number of things, and God hears that. And He records that, as it were, in heaven and makes a divine record of that, and it's a covenant. And when we break that, He is going to hold us accountable in the judgment day for that. Today, in our society, it doesn't matter how many times you marry and divorce, and it's just a casual thing. It's some things you say. You might go to a preacher. You might have a religious service. You might not have anything at all. You might go to the justice of the peace. It might be very informal. It might be very formal or something in between. But often today, it's just simply some things that are said, some motions that you go through, and you go on your way, and if you want to get out of it later, it's no big deal. Hollywood marriages are throwaway marriages, and many others are like that as well. Some people stay married a few minutes, a few hours, a few days, a few weeks, maybe a few months, and then they're off to divorce court. And so we can do better than that, not only for ourselves, but also for our children. We don't even have time this morning to talk about all of the negative problems for the adults and the children that take place when we divorce. And so let us get back to what God's Word says. In Genesis chapter 2, marriage is for a man and a woman. It is a glued relationship, a cemented relationship. When man, through the hardness of their heart, the Old Testament Jew in Deuteronomy 24, wanted to put away, God made some regulations there. And then in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, this is actually a chapter dealing with the loose, immoral, adulterous wife. And she is going out looking for adulterous relationships, men to come into her house. And there are different chapters in the book of Proverbs that warn about that. But this one mentions the relationship with her husband that she has forsaken. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 16, to deliver you from the strange woman, even from the foreigner that flattereth with her words, that forsaketh the friend of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. Talking about the loose, immoral, adulterous woman that, like the prostitute, for example, that is out seeking immorally sexual relationships. And she has forsaken the friend of her youth, talking about her husband, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. She made a covenant with him, and he made one with her before God, and she is forgetting that, and she is held accountable for that. But look at the word covenant there. We've got to get back to seeing marriage as a true covenant that we enter into, a serious one, a serious vow, and a serious promise. Now come with me to the Old Testament book of Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament. I find it interesting that in Genesis chapter 2, we're introduced to marriage for the first time at the very beginning of the New Testament. And then all the way at the end of the New Testament, the last book, Genesis is the first book, Malachi is the last book, that at the very beginning, Genesis 2, and at the very end of the Old Testament, Malachi 2, we're reminded of the importance of marriage. In Malachi chapter 2, God's people had come back from the Babylonian captivity and the temple had been rebuilt. And there is some further unfaithfulness by God's people. They did not come back and remain faithful to Him. They soon slumped into unfaithfulness again. One area was that of idolatry, and in Malachi 2:11, and another area was that of divorcing. And we find in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 14, Malachi 2:14, yet you say, wherefore? Because Jehovah hath been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, though she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did he not make one, although he had the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one, he sought a godly seed, Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For I hate putting away, or some of the newer versions, I hate divorce, saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, and him that covereth his garment with violence, saith Jehovah of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. There are several things that I'd like to look at here. First of all, that the idea of putting away or divorcing the wife was a treacherous act in God's eyes. Among men, it's just simply something you do. It's no big deal. You do it, you go home, you go on your merry way with the rest of your life. But God views it as dealing treacherously. And in verse 14, she is described as thy companion. This is the very point that is made back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, that God would make a help meet or suitable, a companion for Adam. That's what marriage is. It's to be a companionship, a lifelong companionship to help each other get to heaven. It's not just some man-made, evolved relationship just for earthly or sensual or physical relationships, but a companionship to help us get to heaven. And then in verse 14, Malachi says, the wife of thy covenant. That's the same thing as we read back in Proverbs chapter 2. It's a vow. It's a promise. It's a covenant. Don't break that. Verse 15, and did he, speaking of God, not make one? I believe Malachi is talking about the one couple that God made, Adam and Eve, all the way back at the very beginning. And wherefore one? Why did God make one man and one woman for life? He sought a godly seed. That's where godly children can come from. Not a homosexual relationship, not a polygamous relationship, not multiple marriages and divorces. That is not going to raise a godly seed, but a godly man and woman coming together for life, raising godly children. That's what God wants. And it's done in that one flesh relationship of a one man and a one woman for life. Why did he make one? Why did he not make multiple relationships for Adam and Eve? Why one? Because he sought a godly seed. That's the environment that will bring about truly a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, your attitude. We need to take heed to our attitude toward marriage. It's not something frivolous and light and loose. And let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth, for I hate putting away. I hate divorce. A lot of times people talk about a loving God, and God is love. 1 John speaks to that. God is love. God is light. But God has another side. There are things that God hates. And one of those things is divorce and putting away. And Jewish men were not taking heed to their attitude. They were dealing treacherously and just putting away their wives for any cause. We find that so much so that some 400 years later, after Malachi, the Jewish religious leaders, they're asking Jesus if they can put away their wives for every cause. Some did not take heed to their spirit in the days of Malachi and the years that followed, and divorce became rampant among some, and divorce for every cause. And that's why Jesus is asked that, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. So, God hates divorce. That may come as a surprise to you, folks. With the divorce rate almost 50% in this nation, or in the 40 range, that may come as a surprise. Many states have no-fault divorce, where it doesn't matter why you want to get a divorce, any cause. Let's get back to seeing how God views it. We know how man views it. But what does God say? One man, one woman for life, and putting away in divorce, I hate that. So take heed to your spirit and deal not treacherously. It will bring about problems among the individuals involved and our relationship with God. If we will get back to viewing it as a covenant, hopefully we will keep our word and take it seriously. Now, one more matter on that idea of covenant before we move forward, and that is, if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 1, when Paul is talking about the sins of the Gentile world in his day, we jump forward now to the New Testament, some 400 years after the time of Malachi, we jump forward, and we find that in Paul's day, there were all these different kinds of sins when people would not have God in their life. The first one that he mentions is homosexuality. Yes, that is a sin. Romans 1, 26 and 27. And then, when we refuse to have God in our knowledge, God will give us up to a reprobate mind and do things that are unfitting. And he begins to talk about what those things are: unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, and so forth. He says covenant breakers, where we break our word. We lie. We go back on what we said. We don't keep our word. It's listed, friends, as a list of sins of people whom God has just given up to their unrighteous life, and they're going to be lost eternally in the judgment day if they don't come out of that. Covenant breakers. There are people today that would say, well, that's not a big deal. When you sign a contract, get out of it. When you verbally make an agreement, get out of it. That's not a big deal. And all the excuses and the whys and wherefores and why it's not all that bad, and in some circumstances it's okay to do it, there's all of that going on. But we break our word. We break our covenant. And marriage is a covenant. And when we divorce for any cause other than the one that Jesus allows, then we're a covenant breaker. And we're going to be held accountable that in the judgment day. And there are many, many people who don't even realize that. They're just growing up in a society and in a climate where you divorce if you want. It's no big deal. And you move on to the next one, or don't go back to marriage at all. But either way, it's no big deal. Covenant breaking is a sin. And we need to get back to seeing how God views that. So friends, this morning we're looking at God's view on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We're not interested in my opinion or your opinion or what man feels or thinks. We're interested in what the Scripture says. We've got to get back to that. That's why this program is called the Let the Bible Speak program. The Bible is getting lost in this world. The message of the Scripture is getting lost because of all of the opinions and think-sos of man that is being shouted. God's word is being lost. We've got to get back to letting the Bible speak. So, just wrapping up the Old Testament, we have the institution of marriage in Genesis chapter 2, 18 through 24. One man, one woman for life. In Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4, when Israelite men had hardened hearts, God regulated and gave some stipulations. If they were going to divorce their wives, he was not promoting that or commanding that or condoning that. He was regulating their hardened hearts. And we'll see that some more when we see Jesus' words here in a minute in the Gospels. And then we saw this morning that Proverbs 2 and Malachi 2 reminds us that marriage is a covenant. And when we forget that and leave that, Malachi says that man deals treacherously and God hates it. So we would do well to take heed to our spirit or our attitude toward our marriage. It's not just a throwaway marriage. You know, we live in a throwaway society. We're producing things today. Appliances, gadgets, cars, technology, phones, computers. We're designing things that are really meant to be used just for a little while, and they're being made cheaper, and you just go out and buy another one. You know, there were refrigerators, believe it or not, that were made in the past that would last 30 years or more. You might do well to get one to last 10 years. Things were made to last years ago. Now we're in a throwaway society. You buy it, you know up front that it's cheaply made, but it's so cheap it's no big deal to have it for a little while. It breaks, it wears out. It's not made to last. Much of the things made today are made out of plastic, whereas years ago that same item was made out of all metal. It's made out of plastic, doesn't last. Go get you another one. Unfortunately, we're taking that approach with marriage, that divine institution that God made, and we're taking it and we're throwing it in the trash can just like everything else. But friends, you don't have to be like that. You can be the way God wants you to be. So let's turn now to the New Testament and let's see what we find in the New Testament with regard to God's word on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And the place to begin is in the Sermon on the Mount. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 31 and 32. Matthew 5, 31 and 32. This is a section of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is contrasting what the people had heard others say, religious leaders and others, they say this, but I say unto you. In other words, you've heard people say such and such about how to handle different things in your life. I'm telling you the divine truth, or God's word. He always spoke God's word, never his own human opinion. But what is God's word on the matter? You have heard it said, but I say unto you. Actually, we can, just to get an idea of this, we can start back in Matthew 5, verse 27. Matthew 5, 27. You have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that everyone that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye causeth thee to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body be cast into hell. And if thy right hand causeth thee to stumble, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body go into hell. And then look with me at verse 31 and 32. It was also said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that everyone that putteth away his wife, saving or except for the cause of fornication, maketh her an adulteress. And whosoever shall marry her when she is put away, committeth adultery. So let's break this down. Notice, first of all, in verse 31, Jesus said, it was also said. He's talking about men saying things. And in particular, it could be the religious leaders of the day. And what they were saying was, they were making reference back to Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4 that we looked at last week. And in that writing, God said through Moses that if you're going to put away, if you find some unseemly thing in your wife and you put her away, you need to write her a bill of divorcement. Well, many years after, some 1,500 years after Moses wrote that, there were some who took that legislation this way. They said, as long as you write the bill of divorcement, you can go away and put her away for any cause, as long as you get the paperwork right, as long as you follow the detail of writing out this on a bill of divorcement, it's okay. And Jesus is saying, no, but I say unto you. Jesus is going to tell them some problems with that. He's going to explain what actually happens when you do that. Jewish men, Jewish teachers were saying, let's follow Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4 in making sure that we write out a piece of paper. So let's make sure we get the paperwork right. Other than that, God doesn't care what happens. And Jesus says, no, that's not the case. If a man were to do what Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4 teaches, then yes, he is supposed to write a bill of divorcement. Jesus is not saying you don't have to do that anymore. He's saying it's not simply about that. Doing that alone has not done what God wants you to do or to think about with regard to your marriage. So look at verse 32. But I say unto you, he's going to add some other things for them to think about, and that would be the case. But I say unto you that everyone that puts away his wife, and this is tantamount to divorce today, that he used a word to describe what they could do in the first century. Speak to the person and say, I put you away. Today, there is often a courthouse involved. There are civil laws that have to be upheld in the states in which we live in, and we need to go out and do those things. But in Jesus' day, simply sending someone away or putting them away was the procedure, we might say, the method that they could do. And so everyone that putteth away his wife, saving or except for the cause of fornication, makes her an adulteress. And whosoever shall marry her when she is put away commits adultery. Oh, wait a minute. Now adultery is being brought up. It's not just a matter of I've written out some paperwork and so I'm fine and she's fine. No, there's some other things Jesus is saying. And so everyone, let's break this down, and we won't have time to look at all of it. We'll finish it up. We'll continue next week, Lord willing. But notice the first thing he says is, I say unto you, this is Jesus' law that he is laying down for all mankind today, that everyone, Jesus' law here is for all mankind. There are some people that have the attitude, well, I don't have to follow this unless I'm a Christian. All people are under the New Testament law of Christ, whether we come to Christ or not, whether we obey Christ or not. And so this is for everyone. First of all, it's Jesus' law, I say unto you. Number two, it's for everyone, whether you're a Christian or not. And then number three, everyone that putteth away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. He's going to give one exception to this, except for the cause of fornication. If it's not for that cause, then number one, you make her an adulteress. You put her in a position to where when she remarries, she's an adulteress. And number two, whosoever shall marry her, this is the other man, when she is put away, commits adultery. He commits adultery also. And so, friends, it is a very serious thing. And so, we will stop right there. We'll start with Matthew 5 again next week, Lord willing. We'll pick up there and we'll move on through the New Testament. But we want to get back to what the Bible says, what God says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Let us help you to do that. Can we sit down and study that together? Can we sit down and learn what God wants for our life? Thank you for joining us today on the program, and we hope that you'll join us again next week. And have a good day.